Dr. William R. Glaze will have a live Facebook event Tuesday, April 18th, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. During this live event, Dr. Glaze will address the topic, The Bible Under Attack. Many people do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. They believe the Bible is riddled with mistakes and contradictions, while others believe it has been tampered with, it is outdated, and has no relevancy for today. There will be an opportunity for you to post your questions or comments, and Dr. Glaze will respond. You can access your Facebook page by going to www.facebook.com/anchoredinjesusministries. Make plans to join Dr. Glaze on Tuesday, April 18th at 7:30 p.m. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled Rekindling the Fire of Evangelism. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Understanding the Gospel.
I started our series last week by sharing question that I asked my granddaughter, and the question that I asked her, if someone was lying on the ground, they were dying, getting ready to take their last breath, and they asked you, how could I get into heaven? How can I go to be with the Lord? What would you tell them? And so we opened up last week asking you that question. That if you were faced with that, if you were faced with someone who the Spirit of God was moving in their heart and they were getting ready to take their last breath, somewhat like the thief on the cross. You know, he was sincere when he asked Jesus, you know, to let him be with him in paradise. And so you might run into somebody at some point in time that's in that situation. So my question is today, what would you tell them? What would you tell them? And so we said last week, if you said anything other than the fact, and this is the essence of the answer, if you said anything other than the fact that, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, he was buried and he rose again so that you might have eternal life, and that if you will open up your heart and in sincerity pray and ask him to come into your heart, that you'll be saved. And when you close your eyes in death, you will wake up in the presence of the Lord. Now, again, you might not say those exact words, but it needs to be something, you know, it's like throwing a hand grenade, right? You know, I heard the expression that closeness only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. You need to be close, something to that. You know, again, you know, the essence of it needs to be that Christ died, you know, and rose again so that you might have eternal life, and you need to pray and receive him into your heart. And so, you know, I'm going to do a series next month. This month I'm focusing on evangelism, but I'm going to do a series next month, a four-week series on a surety of salvation. You know, because I think it would be a shame for someone to come here Sunday after Sunday and die and not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That as you sit there right now, I ask you the question, what are you basing your salvation on? And sad to say, if we were to ask people to raise their hands, that we probably would get all kind of answers this morning. And pretty much, you know, the wrong answers. And I'm going to talk about a little bit later what the gospel is, but as you sit there right now, you know, what are you basing your entrance into heaven on? What is it based on? And so this is a question that we need to grapple with. You know, there was a lady who was in this church, and I'm not going to call her name. Many of you who will know who I'm talking about when I give this story. She grew up in this church. She was in this church all of her life. She was in her 80s. And we had an evangelistic service, and some guys came in from Chicago, and they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she came forward during the service and accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. grew up in this church, 80 some years old. And so I don't stand here today and take for granted that everybody sitting here knows Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so, you know, I would say anything else, my brothers and sisters, if be sure that you are sure that you know the Lord. Be sure that you are sure that you are born again. And so we need to really, you know, begin to examine ourselves. Because again, you know, I just find, you know, and I hate to say this, but I just find that there's so many people that's off on this. And you're basing your eternity on that. And so we want this morning to talk about a correct understanding of the gospel. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? So we're doing a series, and the title of the series is Rekindling the Fire of Evangelism. And we've talked about how the fires of evangelism are low, that believers have not stepped up to the responsibility of representing Christ and sharing the good news. And so during this month of January, we want to fan those flames of evangelism in your heart. And we pray that they might be reignited and that they might explode into passion for Jesus Christ. We said that there are three components of a fire. Three components of a fire. Without any one of these, a fire will go out. You need fuel, you need air, and you need heat. And so, likewise, with the gospel, there are three components of the gospel. And that is fuel, or three components of evangelism, fuel, air, and heat. The fuel is what we're going to talk about this morning. The heat is what we talked about last week. We talked about passion. And that comes from you. That you have to have the passion. If you don't have a passion, fires of evangelism in your life are going to burn low, or they're not going to be non-existent. And so the passion is on you. We're going to talk about the fuel this morning. What fuels evangelism? And that is a proper understanding of the gospel. And then it needs air. And, you know, we can't do anything without the Spirit of God. You know, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what breathes air into evangelism. And so we need to keep in mind these three components and see how that we are a key piece. Because remember, a fire needs three things. And without one of these three things, the fire will go out. So this morning, we want to talk about understanding the gospel. And I just want to accomplish two things today, and we might not even be here that long this morning. It all depends how the Spirit moves as I'm sharing, all right? But I just want to accomplish two things this morning. I want everyone to leave here knowing two things. You know, I remember when I was in college, before I got saved, and I think I've shared this with some of you before, and I was a football player, right? And, you know, it's no secret. They do give athletes special privileges. And so I'm going to stand here as a witness and a testimony to the fact that they do. And I remember I took a theater class. And I think I might have went to this class about four times all semester. And, you know, these students, I mean, we had students in the class that were serious about theater. And, I mean, they were going in later on into acting and things like that. I was just, me and a couple of the football, we were just in there, you know, because we needed the credits. And so I went to the class about maybe, you know, two or three times, four times maybe at the most. And at the end, we even missed the final exam. And the professor came up to us and he said, look, he said, here goes you guys' final exam. And the whole semester, he taught the philosophies of Grotowski and Stanislavski, their theories on theater. And that's what the whole class was. And so he said, just if you guys could just tell me, what was the philosophy of Grotowski and Stanislavski, you know, I'll pass you in this class. You know, I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't even say that, man. And so, you know, I got a C in the class, but you know, I'm gonna tell you what, let me say this. The Lord convicted me when I graduated, and so I actually, because I got saved after that. So when I graduated, I took extra classes because, you know, I knew that that class right there, for me, was bogus. So I think I ended up with about 10 extra credits after I graduated. So, you know, so just to put your mind at ease that the Spirit of God was working. But my point in telling that story was the fact that whole semester we needed to understand two things and we missed them. And my fear is today, and this is my prayer, that the two things that I'm going to share, that you don't miss them. Don't be like Pastor Glaze and sit here today and walk out of here and miss the two most important things that I'm going to say. And the first thing that I'm going to say is, as we look at what is the gospel is the good news. It's the good news. Turn to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. And Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, if you got the NIV or the New American Standard, you might not see this next part in there. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." So if you notice in there, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." And the word gospel is the Greek word euangelion, and it means good news. It's good news, as we look at the passage here, to the poor. Because even though they might be poor, the good news is that you can be rich in spirit. The good news is to them who are brokenhearted. And what is the good news? That Jesus comes to heal a broken heart. He came to preach deliverance to the blind. Well, what is the good news? Is that the blind can see spiritually. What is the good news to them who are bruised? That you can be healed. That's the good news. So the gospel is the good news. That's what we have. It's good news. When we take the message of Jesus Christ, when you look at the word gospel and you ask, what does the word gospel mean? It means good news. Good news. So I usually don't do this, but let me take the opportunity to do it. I'm going to ask you a question. And the question is, what does the word gospel mean?
Good news.
All right, amen. So you're already 50% ahead where Pastor Glaze was. All right, the gospel is the good news. If you're hungry, the good news is that he's the bread of life. If you're thirsty, the good news is that he's the living water. If you're lost, the good news is that he is the way. If you're in darkness, the good news is that he is the light. That's good news. I don't know about you, but my life was a mess before I came to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. As somebody said, I was lost and undone without God or his son. But thank God he reached down his hand for me. The gospel was good news. You know, I share that the night before I gave my life to Christ, that you know, I don't share this testimony in a proud way, but I share it to prove a point, is that, you know, I was higher than Scooter Brown. Now, I don't even know who Scooter Brown is, but he must get pretty high. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. You get high, and then you got to go do it again. You got to keep going back, and you got to keep getting high over again. I said, this is madness. And I began to search in my heart. And thank God for Pastor Berkeley, who pastors a church over in Braddock, because he came and he began to minister to a bunch of us. And I remember that next day, we were standing out on the corner. Don't need to let you know what we were doing. We were just standing on the corner. And Pastor Berkeley was coming. And somebody said, "Oh, man, here come Pastor Berkeley. Put your stuff down." And Pastor Berkeley came up, and he started talking to us. And, you know, them guys really didn't want to hear what they had to say. And I didn't want them to know that I wanted to hear what he had to say. And so I kind of waited till he started walking away. I said, we called him, he might not like it, we call him Ab. I said, "Hey, Ab, let me talk to you for a second." And so we began to talk, and he said, it was a Sunday. He said, "Well, why don't you come to church with me tonight?" And I went to church with him. And that evening, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And, you know, my life changed after that. But that night, when I thought about how that, you know, the madness of having to go through that getting high thing all over again and again, I tell you what, man, that was good news. Oh, that was good news that there was deliverance for me. And I don't know where you came from, and I always say this because I think the most powerful testimony is the person who didn't go out into the world. That's a testimony to the keeping power of God. And so I thank God for that. And I wish to God I had a testimony where I grew up and I stayed with God and I walked with him every step of the way. But that wasn't my testimony. But I guarantee you that night that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that was the good news. And so we need to understand first and foremost that the gospel is the good news. And this is the message that we carry. You know, again, like I said last week, if we take the gospel out of this church, we're just a social club. We just might as well come, you know, pay our little dues, have our little membership, and just come and sip tea and talk about, we could even hook up with Oprah and begin a book reading club, right? And the book that we could read is the Bible, right? Yeah, we got this little club, and the book of the month is the Bible, right? The next month. No, but the gospel is the heart. If you take the gospel out of the church, you take the heart out of the church. You know, we would just kind of be like a inflated balloon that you let the air out of. We would just collapse because the gospel is the heart. You know, J. Vernon McGee, he tells a story about a vacuum cleaner salesman. And you know, back in the day, you know, now today you can go into the stores and you can, you know, look at the vacuum cleaners. But back in the day, some of y'all remember this, the vacuum cleaner salesmen, they traveled door to door. They would knock on your door. And they would come in and they would throw some stuff on your floor and they would run the vacuum cleaner and show you how good of a vacuum cleaner that they had. Well, J. Vernon McGee says, if you take the heart out of the gospel, that's like a vacuum cleaner salesman going door to door trying to sell vacuum cleaners, and you don't have any vacuum cleaners, right? What are you selling? What do you say if we take the gospel out? What are we selling? And so the first thing that we need to understand is that the gospel is the good news. The second thing that we need to understand is that the gospel is the death of Christ, it's the burial of Christ, and it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what the gospel is. And Paul capsulizes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the what? The gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the message. That's the message right there. That Christ died and was buried and that he rose again. And if you turn real quick to Galatians chapter 1, the next book over, two books over, Galatians chapter 1. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Wow. Into another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. And so when you start telling people that the gospel is this name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, that you're supposed to be rich and drive around in fancy cars and live in mansions, and that's the gospel, that is another gospel. That gospel is perverted. If you add anything to the gospel, if you say, well, you got to be baptized to be saved, if you say you got to speak in tongues to be saved, if you say that you got to go to church to be saved, if you say that you got to do good works to be saved, my brothers and sisters, that is another gospel. And Paul said, count them a curse. Let them be anathema. This is the gospel. And so that's my message. That's my message for this morning. The gospel, the word gospel means good news. What is the gospel? It is the death, it is the burial, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. And would to God that right now everybody understand that simple message. Because like I said, that's the heart. That's what we're all about. That is the heart of the church, is the gospel. And we can come and we can have concerts and we can have plays and we can have Martin Luther King Day and we can have this day and that day. That's the heart of the message right there. That's why you are here today. Because of this. And he said, if anybody preach anything else other than this, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. See, that's why you have to be discerning. Because, you know, when you sit down and you watch people on TV, and I have people come back and tell me all the time that, oh, you know, I was listening to so-and-so today. Man, they really spoke to my heart. But I said, if you listen to them and you hear them, that their message is not one where Christ is the centrality of the gospel. They got a positive influence message. They tell you how to live a positive life. This is your... No, I'm just kidding. That was bad. That was bad. You know, you got to listen. And anything off of this right here.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Understanding the Gospel. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Understanding the Gospel, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Understanding the Gospel. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Understanding the Gospel. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.